It's an exciting day for baptisms, and so today, if you brought your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at a very hard, difficult section of Scripture, and we're right in the middle of this series called The Good Life, and so Jesus defines for us what that good life is in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8, and this is what it says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, based on what I know about my life, that seems like a pretty impossible verse to live out, right? Blessed are the pure in heart. Anybody here consider themselves to be absolutely 100% pure in heart? And I didn't think many of you would answer yes to that. But actually, when you begin to understand what Jesus is talking about here, I think you'll be surprised that many of us are pure in heart. So let me describe to you what it's not first. Let's talk about what it's not. Purity of heart does not mean that you never have a bad thought or that you never sin. Because that would be impossible because of this flesh inside of us and because of the temptations that you and I experience. The Apostle John says to believers, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. So it is not the absence of sin that describes for us purity of heart, because that would be a contradiction of terms. So if it's not sinlessness, what is purity of heart? What is this purity of heart? I think it's two things. First of all, I think there are two things that comprise a heart that is pure. First of all, it is a heart that is undivided, an undivided heart, a single focused heart. And then I think the second piece is a cleansed heart. So for just a few minutes, let's start with those two concepts and let's just see what they mean. Let's start with the undivided heart. What does an undivided heart look like in our lives? What does that look like? Well, I think it looks like this. It's a clear, focused choice of which kingdom you're going to live for. That is a choice that you have to make every day. Which kingdom are you going to be living for? Which kingdom? Is it your kingdom or is it God's kingdom? Which kingdom do you live for? That describes for us the undivided heart. Which kingdom do you live for? James chapter 4, verse 8 says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Now watch this, you double-minded. I think the struggle that many of us have today is the having this double-minded spirit, which sometimes, like Ashley was talking about, sometimes you had one foot in the bar and one foot in church. That's a divided heart. Until you come to realize that what God is calling you to is something far better. It's the good life. It's a life that is absolutely beautiful in every way. So there is this great prayer for purity in the book of Psalms that says this. Psalm 86:11. You might want to jot this note down and read it again sometime. This is what it says. He says, Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart, God, to fear your name. That's what it means to have this clear vision of walking with Jesus. So what blocks us from doing that? What blocks you and I from having this undivided heart with God? I think the first thing that is there, probably the most important thing, is that I think almost all of us have this great ability to be in denial about where we really are with God. Hello out there? Come on now. I think we're very good at telling ourselves the wrong message. Came across this stat this week. The average cell phone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. And that's a pretty amazing stat, no small number. Probably the most interesting thing about that stat is that those surveyed, when they were confronted with that truth, most of them said, no, that is absolutely not possible. I don't touch my phone over 2,600 times during a day. So we have this great ability to deny ourselves, but the truth is that research holds out. The one thing we do with excellence, we're excellent at this. The one thing that you and I do with excellence is we live in the state of denial. Would you agree with that? We always want to hear the right thing, want to talk about the right things. An office supervisor had to have a word with a new employee because she was habitually late to work. So he took her aside and said, you know, this is not acceptable. You can't do this. Other employees have noticed that you're walking in late every day. And after listening to her supervisor's counsel to her, she had an open heart. She agreed that that was a problem. And even she added a solution to the problem. She said, is there another door that I could use if it's a problem for other employees? So we're good at being in denial. So the question I'm going to ask you right now is that, do you have an undivided heart before God? That is, are you singly focused on the kingdom of God as opposed to your kingdom? Which kingdom are you building? Yours or God's? And to be undivided means that I have to daily focus on what God would have for me. The second aspect of a pure heart is just as important, and that is a cleansed heart. A pure heart is a heart that isn't perfect, but it is a cleansed heart. This involves a two-step dance. First of all, there is an amazing thing called justification. Have you ever heard that word? Justification by faith is a beautiful picture for what it's like to be a Christian. If you're watching online, if you are listening to this, or you're listening right here in this auditorium, justification becomes the Christian's friend. This is an amazing thing. This is centered around the shed blood of Jesus, which allows God to declare us righteous in his kingdom. Not based on our perfection, but based on what Christ has done. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Jesus. Amazing truth. This cannot happen by self-effort. Can't happen by self-effort. So don't miss the irony here. I want you to see a video here. And then I will just talk about it. So let me show you this video.
Well, your kitchen sponge may be dirtier than your toilet.
Yeah, that's not good news, but German researchers conducted a DNA analysis of 14 kitchen sponges. They found more than 350 types of bacteria on them. About one-third of the bacteria were considered not harmful, but some did carry pathogens that could cause some infections among humans. The team notes kitchen sponges are capable of spreading bacteria in places where it was not previously present. And even if you clean them regularly, the recommended ways, some bacteria, they say, will still remain. So they recommend replacing your sponges every week.
So don't miss the irony here. This is good. Instead of cleaning, these washcloths and sponges make things worse. That's what happens along the way, that makes things worse. Now, when you think about that, that is really an irony of the Christian faith. All the effort in the world does nothing more than spread the germs around when it comes to cleaning your sink with these sponges. And in the Christian life, the dilemma is the same. You and I have contaminated souls. So for you and I, somehow, some way to think that we could cleanse ourselves by some form of self-effort. I'm going to just clean my life up. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to be in church more. All those things might be noble, but the truth is that you cannot clean your own life up. Only something that is clean can clean you. And that is so true. Only something that is clean can. Sorry, we're having trouble with the mic today, so you're just going to have to bear with it till we fix it next service. Lucky you. For some reason, this never seems to click with people who are trying to use religion as a way to self-justify. It's amazing to think about it. Can a contaminated soul be used to clean itself? The answer is absolutely not. Most seem to think so, which is demonstrated in the universal practice of religion as a means somehow to find favor with God. But the truth is that you have this contaminated soul. And as long as that your soul is contaminated, I'm telling you, you have to depend upon something that is external. So how does this happen? How do you and I find our way into removing this contamination in our life? So let's start with this premise right here. A dirty rag won't clean a dirty house. We just won't do it. There is no way around this principle for a soiled object to be cleansed by an unsoiled object. An unsoiled object must be involved. This holds true whether you're cleaning your house, our car, or our soul. So watch this verse. Listen to this verse. This is such a good verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 11 says, "But you were washed." Do you see that? "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." You are washed and sanctified in the Spirit of our God. According to the book of Romans is this amazing book in the New Testament. Sin is not a list, listen to this carefully, sin is not a list of bad things we do. Sin is something that's internal. It is embedded in our very nature. So it's not that God looks at you and there's all these acts of sin that you're doing. The truth is what defiles you is what's dirty on the inside. You are contaminated from the inside out. And so it takes something in a very supernatural way to cleanse you. It's like this. You can be an amazing concert pianist, but if you step up and play a piano that has broken keys, you're going to sound horrible. That's the way it is in the Christian life. I don't care how good you think you are, you're always playing with a broken instrument when it comes to being pure in heart. So the second step in this dance is having a short account with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot have honest relationship with others or God without having this amazing relationship with God. I was reading my Bible one day, and I noticed something. I put my hand down the page, and there's this bump in the pages. And I'm thinking, what is that? So I flipped the pages over a little bit, and I pressed my hand down to see if it was still there. It was smaller, but it was still there. So I eventually got to the fact that it was this really small, tiny, I don't know what it was, a pebble of some kind that would lodge itself in my Bible. And what I discovered is that every page that covered it magnified it. Every page that covered magnified it. So 5 or 6 or 7 pages flipped over, it was a big bump. And as I began to uncover what it was, it became very small. So it is with God and our sin. The truth is that when you and I have a short account with God, when you and I trust God, when we sin, when we immediately confess it, when you and I live in that way, then the truth is that every day we're going to live with this purity of soul. And that is such an amazing truth. But here's the question I want to ask. Why? God is all-knowing, right? You understand that? God is all-knowing. Why would God want us to confess our sins when he already knows that we have them? That's a great question, right? Already knows our soul, already knows what we do before we do it, and already knows every temptation that we experience, every sin that we ever commit. So the answer to that question is simply this. God wants us to have a short account with him because he knows that honesty is the basis of every relationship, including him. You start with God. If you want to have a pure heart, you start with an honest relationship with him. That's what purity of heart is all about. And here's the truth that I just love. God never rejects a truthful, repentant sinner. God never rejects a truthful, repentant heart. He never does. God always accepts us right where we are. I want to end our time together before we actually get into some baptisms by asking you 3 questions that you can't avoid. You would want to answer them today as opposed to answering them before God someday. So here they are. Listen to them very carefully. Number 1, have you ever had your heart cleansed? Have you ever had your heart cleansed? And what I mean by that, have you ever come to a place in your life where you have recognized that you're contaminated and that you need something beside yourself to cleanse you? And you've turned to Jesus to be that very thing. Jesus came to the world 2,000 years ago, lived an absolute sinless life, which gave him the qualifications to be that cleansing agent. His blood is that cleansing agent that you and I so desperately need. So has there ever come a time and a place in your life? I'm not talking about did you start coming to church. I'm not talking about, you know, did you have a, are you religious? I'm not talking about do you read your Bible every day? There will be people that read their Bibles every day and go to hell. Did you know that? It takes a cleansing for you to go to heaven. Has there ever come a place and time in your life when you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? You know, oftentimes I ask people who are raised in the church, so tell me about your Christian experience. And this is what a lot of them say to me. I've always been a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I want to say to you, if you're believing that, you're believing a lie. Because you were born with Adam's sin. The problem isn't did you have sins in your life? The problem is that you had a contaminated soul because of your relationship to Adam. And you inherited this sin nature that was offensive to God. So everyone has to come the same way. It's not one way for people raised in the church. It's not another way for somebody raised outside the church. Everybody comes the same way, and everybody comes through the door of Jesus Christ. He is the door. And without that door, without him, there is no cleansing. There is no cleansing. Without him, all you have is religion. So I'm going to ask you one more time. First question, has there ever come a time and a place in your life where you have depended upon the cleansing blood of Jesus to wash you from the defilement of your soul. Have you had that experience with him? Second question is just as important. If you've had that experience, are you now walking in daily purity before him? And what I mean by that, are you confessing your sins as you commit them? Are you having short accounts with God? Are you speaking the truth to God? Are you being honest with him about your account of sin? So important. So for you and I to walk in purity, we have to be cleansed. We have to have an assured account with God. Last question is do you have a divided heart? That is, okay, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I know that, and I'm confessing my sins on a regular basis, but my heart is really divided. I spend a lot of my time thinking about my kingdom as opposed to his. That's a divided heart. That's not a pure heart. Whose kingdom are you really building every day? Do you get up and say, God, I want to live in your kingdom? That's the good life. The good life begins with a cleansing, with a purity, and then it continues as you and I live every day focused on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here's the promise. The promise is that if you and I do that, the amazing truth is that you and I will live the good life. It's just a wonderful life to live knowing that I have this purity and I will see God. And that's not necessarily talking about in the future. You'll see God more often than not in this life. When you live with an undivided heart, when you live with a pure heart, the promise of Scripture is that you live to see God. So, Father, I just thank you and praise you for that great truth. Pray, God, that you will give us ears and hearts to understand. And I pray, God, earnestly, that you will take our next few minutes as we baptize some folks and that you'll be glorified and lifted up. Your name will be honored in Jesus' holy and powerful and awesome name.